The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to Jesus, "Teacher, I've kept all those things since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked. He went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. So Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." And then Peter began to say to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there was no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, and fields with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Well, this is a really old story. It's a stupid story, but I have to tell it to you anyway. You've heard it a million times, probably, but there was this wonderful farmer who took such good care of the animals on his farm. They were so grateful. They were so well cared for. A couple of them, a hen and a pig, decided they talked about how grateful they were and how can we express our appreciation to our farmer. And so the hen said to the pig, "Oh, why don't we cook breakfast for him?" And the pig said, "That's a great idea. What should we make?" And the hen said, How about eggs and bacon?" And the pig says, "Nothing doing. For you, that's just a contribution. For me, that's total commitment." Oh, it still gets a laugh. That's kind of nice. Well, Christian stewardship, giving, that's the theme for our month, right? And isn't it interesting that today the gospel is about a wealthy man who comes running to Jesus. Did you hear that? He came running to Jesus. Now, in that culture, dignified men of stature in the community, they did not go running. That was, you know, that would have been strange. You know, it was beggars who came running to Jesus. It was, people who were sick came running to Jesus for help. Rich, dignified people don't go running like that. But that's what he does. He goes running to Jesus and begs for something, actually. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, we find out this was a man of real character here. You know, a good man. We find out as Jesus asks him, well, Jesus says, well, nobody's good but God alone, but if you want to be good, you know what to do. Follow the Ten Commandments. You know, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat on your wife, take care of your parents in their old age. And the guy says to Jesus, well, teacher, I have been doing all those things since I was a teenager. I've been such a responsible, diligent, sincere person. I'm doing the best I can. But it doesn't feel like it's enough. What else do I have to do? You know, and after hearing this story, all my life really, I just noticed this week. Jesus, catch this, looked at him and loved him. Did you hear that? He looked at him and loved him. He's not mad at this guy. It's not like this guy's a stooge for his story. He loves this man. Looks him in the eye, sees down deep into his heart and soul, and says, yep, you are a good, decent man. I can see that. But you lack one thing. Go sign up for Park and Ride at Lord of Life as a driver. No, that's not what he said. He said, no, one thing you lack, go sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and you'll have riches in heaven, and then come and follow me. And of course, the young man's response, sure, Jesus, done. I'll pick up a U-Haul truck right after church, and off to Interfaith I go with all my stuff. Right? No. Mark tells us, by the way, if you don't know what Interfaith is, if you're new here, Interfaith is our social service agency in the Woodlands. No, what does he say? Mark tells us this, when the rich man heard this, he was shocked, and he went away grieving, literally grieving, for he had many possessions. Ouch, huh? Ouch. For some people, that's a contribution, but for me, that's a commitment, total commitment, huh? But you can almost hear, you know what? You can almost hear the grief in Jesus' voice as he turns to his disciples and he says to them, oh, how hard it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God. Sad. But as usual, you know, they don't get it, so he has to say it again. This time he says, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, he says, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, most recent scholars of biblical times and of Scripture and of the Holy Land say they've now agreed that the eye of the needle was a hole in the wall of the outer wall of Jerusalem. And here it is. It was discovered again in the 1800s by the Russian Orthodox Church, St. Anthony. Oh, it's in here somewhere. Where is it? It's a Russian Orthodox Church, and it's right where the old Jerusalem wall was. And then when they started to pull away the rubble back in the 1900s, they found this hole in the wall right next to the judgment gate, which we believe is where Jesus carried his cross out of Jerusalem to be crucified. This is right next to it. So it's so tiny, though. Obviously, how could you get a camel through that little opening in the wall? It was a safe place for some people to get through without the armies of your enemies to get in. And Father Pat and his pilgrims, St. Simon and Jude, by the way, are in the Holy Land this week touring. I wonder if they'll see this. And of course, it was such an exaggeration when Jesus said it would be easier to get a camel through that hole than for the rich person to enter the kingdom of God. But guess what? It is possible for humans to get through here, for human beings, not camels, but people. One problem, you can't take anything with you. You have to leave all your baggage behind, your backpacks and everything, or you'll never get through here. So you have to leave it all behind, and then, yes, you can crawl through to this new place. So what's the point? If you truly want to enter into life whole and healthy and have the full, complete life that God wants for you, not just in heaven, but yes, in heaven, but now, here and now, in this life, you gotta keep letting go of the things that get between you and trusting God in your life. Whatever things, whatever attitudes, whatever behaviors that are keeping you from this most important relationship in your life, the relationship with the God who created you, created all the world, who sustains you, who loves you so much, he sent his only son to die for you, that relationship, that most important relationship in your life, whatever stands between you and God, has to go. Now, is Jesus saying it's bad to be rich here, you think? I used to think that. Years ago, I was an inner city pastor in Milwaukee, and we went without all sorts of stuff. You know, in fact, I went without my paycheck for half a month sometimes. And I used to think that the more I did without things, and the more I suffered, the more miserable I was, the more faithful to God I was being. Isn't that crazy? I thought that. The more miserable I was, the more faithful I was to God. That's crazy, isn't it? Well, it was. So the more depressed I got, the more faithful I thought I was being. You know, what a waste. But at this point in my life, do you know, by the way, how much income it takes to be in the upper 1% of the world's wealthy people? $32,400 a year of income puts you in the upper 1% of the wealthy people of the world. Isn't that wild? So we're all doing pretty well, most of us, aren't we? We are. This is a great place to live. We're doing pretty well. And I really do believe now that the things that I have in my life are part of what God wants me to enjoy. You know, I love our house. I love our new kitchen. We have like this tropical garden in the backyard. We just love being there. I love that little Mazda Miata. You know, I love all this stuff. So, or is Jesus saying, forget about being a good person to this rich young ruler? Forget about obeying the Ten Commandments, about being an ethical, truthful person? Of course not. At this time in history, maybe more than many, we are in desperate need of ethical, decent people in our world as models for how to treat each other. So what is Jesus saying? Yes, you can fully and completely enter into heaven, into the kingdom of heaven, living here and now as well. Like the rich man, though, you have to come to a place where you realize that your life depends not on the stuff of your life, or your accomplishments, or your reputation, or your goodness, or how hard you work at things, or your long list of things to do, but that your life, your well-being, your security depends solely on God. So in order to enter into life freely and completely through the eye of this needle, we have to become beggars at Jesus' feet, just like that rich man, just like those hungry people, just like those who are sick and desperately needing help. So is it possible for rich and successful people to enter into the kingdom of God? Of course, absolutely. When they're willing to see that all of the stuff and the accomplishments are nothing compared to have an intimate, trusting relationship with God, who loves you so much he sent his son to die for you. You know, that's what confession and forgiveness is about when we do that here every week in worship. That's what hearing the word of God is about every Sunday. That's what this meal, the Lord's Supper, is that we share every week. We can't get there on our own, by our own smarts, our own goodness. And when we start getting busy and don't have time for worship once a week for 1 hour, because we're so busy taking care of our stuff or pursuing all sorts of things out there, accomplishments, we're falling right back into this illusion that we can do it on our own. Our life depends not on our smarts, our abilities, our accomplishments for securing our life. Our life depends solely on the God who loves us and says, now, whatever's in the way, go, sell all of it. Drop everything you thought made your life secure and meaningful. Let it all go. Trust solely in me, and then come follow. You know, alcoholics and their loved ones have to hit bottom like this, we call it. They have to recognize their lick, that they can't do it on their own. Alcoholics have to realize they can't stop drinking on their own. Family members have to realize they can't stop someone else's drinking on their own. They're powerless over somebody else's drinking. And then and only then, when they're humbly acknowledged that's how their life is, they're powerless over so many things, only then can they come to see that there's a power greater than themselves that can restore their lives to sanity, it says. And then and only then can they come to trust that they can turn their will and their lives over to the care of this God who loves them so much. In simple words, at an AA meeting, they'll often say, "I can't, God can, I'll let him." I can't, God can, I'll let him. Impossible on their own, but with God, all things are possible. And you know what? When that happens for a recovering family, life just opens up in the most amazing ways. Sometimes broken relationships are healed. But even if that can't happen because of the damage of addictions, there's a serenity, a peace of mind and heart that settles into your being that comes from God alone. And when we keep going through this eye of the needle of dependence on God, because it's a lifelong process, isn't it? We have to keep doing it over and over again. It becomes easier to say, like Gents said last week in our stewardship video, "You know, these things weren't mine in the first place that I'm sharing. It's so easy to give them away because these things are God's, and so I can hold them lightly, gratefully, and where I need to share them generously with those that God calls me to share with, and for the ministries that can help people come to him like I need to keep coming to him day after day, week after week." And that attitude toward giving is an opening into eternal life. See? Here and now. The joy of being generous because it makes me happy now. Living dependent on God and making use of my abilities and my money to help others come to the same reality that hopefully the rich man came back at one point and said, "Yeah, I'm going to let go of this stuff. I want you in my life, Jesus." You know? And maybe he ended up living in the riches of heaven even then in his life. And as it was for the hen and the pig, this is not just a contribution. It's a total, freeing, joyous commitment.